You are listening to a sermon by Ruth Enns, recorded on Sunday, June 15th, 2025, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Happy Father's Day. It seems appropriate to talk today about the book of Proverbs, which is framed as the advice a father passes on to his son, teaching him the ways of the world and showing him how to be a contributing member of society. The book starts with an explanation of its purpose as follows. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, King David's son, from Israel. Their purpose is to teach wisdom and discipline, to help one understand wise sayings. They provide insightful instruction, which is righteous, just, and full of integrity. They make the naive mature, the young, knowledgeable and discreet. The wise hear them and grow in wisdom. Those with understanding gain guidance. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs is what's called the wisdom literature of the Bible. It is actually a collection of collections. That is, it brings together wise sayings from a number of authors over hundreds of years, from perhaps the 10th century to the 5th century BCE. The writers who compiled the book as it appears in the Bible decided to say it is all the wisdom of King Solomon, the quintessential sage of Israel, no doubt to bring it extra credibility and heft, kind of like having your Canadian parliamentary throne speech read by the king. It is laden with symbolism. I'm glad to read Solomon urging his offspring to heed the words of both his father and his mother. He says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Don't neglect your mother's teaching." Although narrated from the viewpoint of the father, something that attracted my interest is that this book has many rich and varied descriptions of women. As a guy who reportedly had 700 wives and 300 concubines from many countries, Solomon surely had experience with women. He warns his offspring about women of folly who have a bad influence inside the home as well as out in society. Mysterious or strange or evil women who can trap a man and lead him to death. But there are also women of wisdom and substance who have positive influences in their families, their homes, and their cities. In particular, the 9 opening chapters and the final chapter of Proverbs uphold wise women, a deliberate choice by the compilers of the biblical versions of these texts. These are thought to be the more recent portions of the text, poetically framing the older collections of short sayings. For example, chapter 1 ends with the female personification of wisdom who, like a prophet, calls people to account out in the middle of the city. Here's chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. "Wisdom shouts in the street. In the public square, she raises her voice. Above the noisy crowd, she calls out. At the entrances of the city gates, she has her say. How long will you clueless people love your naivete? Mockers hold their mocking dear, and fools hate knowledge. You should respond when I correct you. Look, I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll reveal my words to you." Here is a voice of authority. Chapter 31, at the end of the book, wraps things up with a description of what has been translated as A woman of substance, or a valiant woman. The description is in the form of an acrostic poem that works its way through the Hebrew alphabet, listing facets of the perfect wife. She is a woman of independent means who is successful at things like farming, the textile industry, and international trade in food items, as well as in the more traditional roles of looking after her household and doing good works in her community. Here are the last verses of the book, Solomon's final advice to his son. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let her share in the results of her work. Let her deeds praise her in the city gates. Many older commentators agreed that while there were plenty of real-life examples of women of folly, woman wisdom was a purely metaphorical woman, representing an ideal feminine, not any particular historical woman or women of ancient times. The Hebrew word for wisdom is a feminine noun, so someone perhaps made an error in transcription and turned wisdom into a female character. More recently, with gender studies, attitudes about this have been refined. For example, in reading sources from 539 to 322 BCE, the time of Persian Palestine, Christine Roy Yoder found evidence that this sort of woman was not just an unattainable ideal, but that women like this, although rare, did exist in that society. The woman of substance is an idealized representation, but was based on real women who bought land, planted crops, ran textile businesses, and traded with faraway places to receive valuable food commodities. The lectionary text for today is from chapter 8. The chapter begins by recalling the passage I read from the first chapter, depicting wisdom in the role of a prophet or a community leader, speaking her words in the most public places, shouting out to all humanity. Doesn't wisdom cry out and understanding shout? Atop the heights, along the path, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. By the gate before the city, at the entrance, she shouts, I cry out to you people, my voice goes out to all of humanity. And then we have the incredible poem describing woman wisdom in her early days. Acting in partnership with God during the time of creation, it shows wisdom not just in domestic or even political realms, but in the cosmic beginnings, a partner to God, beside him as a master of crafts, having fun and smiling before him, frolicking with his inhabited earth and delighting in the human race. The poet suggests that even for God, things can go better and be more fun with an active partnership. Speculation about the figure of woman wisdom in this chapter has ranged widely. Some scholars have noted similarities in this passage with certain female wisdom figures in other ancient religions. For example, Ma'at from Egypt, who was the Egyptian goddess of justice, who was also understood both as the child of the creator God and as the ordering principle of creation. I also read suggestions that the Proverbs 8 description of wisdom is a beta version of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom, which continues to act in the world, as described by Jesus in the lectionary passage from John. Paul sometimes calls Jesus the wisdom of God. Could this mysterious figure refer to Jesus himself, partner with God since the earliest times? Is woman wisdom a kind of projection of the anima, the creative female aspect of God? Or is she a part of human existence and not God at all? Is she a poetic emissary who acts between God and humanity? One Catholic writer I read was sure that this must be Mary, the mother of Jesus. In my view, Proverbs makes no suggestion that wisdom is God or needs to be worshipped. The role of wisdom seems to be to bear witness, to give her opinions and advice as a master of crafts, and certainly to delight in the handiwork of God. Here is that poem again. The Common English translation titles this poem Wisdom's Autobiography. The Lord created me at the beginning of his way, before his deeds long in the past. I was formed in ancient times at the beginning, before the earth was. When there were no watery depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs flowing with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before God made the earth and the fields or the first of the dry land. I was there when he established the heavens, when he marked out the horizon on the deep sea, when he thickened the clouds above, when he secured the fountains of the deep, when he set a limit for the sea so the water couldn't go beyond his command, when he marked out the earth's foundations. I was beside him as a master of crafts. I was having fun, smiling before him all the time, frolicking with his inhabited earth and delighting in the human race. Wisdom is an integral part of creation and present in the world around us. The parallels between the positive descriptions of God's creation in this poem and the Psalm 8 passage from the lectionary are uplifting, affirming the goodness of creation and the joy it can inspire. Especially when these sections of Proverbs are considered alongside the poetry of the Song of Solomon, there is emphasis on the positive value of personal relationships. They are one of our best models for the relationship between God and his people. Collaboration is the way to build a world where all can flourish. Wisdom begins with respect for God. Wisdom is worth listening to, no matter whether you are at the beginning of life's journey or already have years of experience. People can grow in wisdom. These are inspirational words not just for fathers and sons, but for us all.